Hello there and welcome to today's episode of the Scaling Wellness Podcast. Full disclosure, this is the second time I have recorded this because my internet has been a bit of a nightmare. We have decided, information you don't need, but I quite like to share. We've decided to move from BT to Sky. And of course, there's always that day, isn't there? There's that day where you get the lag, where one isn't quite picking up and the other hasn't quite dropped off, and so you get the lag. So I recorded the entire episode, went back to the recording platform, and it hadn't recorded. So I have picked myself back up, dusted myself back off, and I'm back with you. And today we are talking about stuff, you know, the stuff that we have to do, the things that are on our lists. And I feel like this is quite relevant because, you know, we are all really busy people. And what I really want to talk to you today is about the kind of hidden cost of spinning too many plates in your wellness business. So I know that you guys are really, really busy. And I get it because I've been in exactly the shoes that you are in. Whether you are a trainer, a teacher, an instructor or a coach, you will have a full roster. And that's probably why you're here. It's probably why you're listening to this, is because you recognize that there is an opportunity for you available, but you are probably saying you don't have time. You don't have time to create something new, a digital product or a program or an offer that is scalable and can operate without your physical and energetic presence. But you know that it's possible, but you don't really have time for it. And what you're saying to yourself is that it feels like another job to do. And I completely get it. Of course it does. Because right now, everything in your life is another thing to add to your list. That doesn't mean that you are in any way lazy, unmotivated, or lacking in discipline. Quite the opposite. What you are finding, and the reason you're listening to this, the reason you recognize the potential and the possibility of having a scalable digital offer, is because you are at capacity. And I want to congratulate you for that, first of all, because, you know, having a full timetable, a full roster of clients, having clients that rely on you, that isn't something to not celebrate. Because, you know, we start off and we get our qualifications, we do our training, and, you know, everyone can remember their first couple of clients. You know, I remember my first clients back in, I think it was 2004 or 5 when I finally qualified. But, you know, over 20 years ago, and I can remember them. And they came to my house, and I remember clearing my front room so that I could put two mats out, and we had kind of private session, and they were like my first people through the doors. One of them I actually still see as a client today, 20 years later. So I get it. You know, we start off with that kind of excitement of bringing clients in, and then before you know it, it kind of snowballs, and we've got this full business that needs to operate on the daily. And on top of that, life doesn't get quieter as we age. Life gets busier. Suddenly we've got families, we've got kids, we've got life admin, we've got parents, we've got, God forbid, we have a social life, right? So I understand that when you think about a digital product, the idea of trying to squeeze in something else makes you panic, and it makes you feel like you're going to explode. And so I do understand where you're at, but this is where I want to lovingly, you know, it's always done with love. I want to challenge you on this, because the problem isn't that you are too busy to grow. The problem is what you are busy doing. So you are stuck in a business model that requires you physically or energetically to be present in order to stay busy, in order to earn. And sadly, your earning potential relies on you being busy. So it's this kind of horrible catch-22 that if you're not busy, you're not earning. So we go after busyness because that's what fills the bank. But actually, that's what's going to cause the burnout. So your business model is wrong. And this is where I would challenge you to think a little bit differently about this, because every class that you run, every client that you see requires your energy. It requires your time. It requires your focus. It requires your physical capacity. Now, every time you have someone coming to you, not only are you needing to kind of ramp up your mood and switch things on and, you know, be the person that they need you to be, listen to their woes, care about their issues, be the person there for them physically and energetically, but also that spills over, right? So I know that a lot of our clients are now pretty good at online bookings and all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, most of us that care about our businesses and care about our customers tend to blur the lines of what those kind of professional boundaries are. Our clients end up as being our friends. We become quite close with them. We pride ourselves on the fact that we remember their husband's names and their kids' names and, you know, the holiday they've just got back from and their injuries. And so not only is this a job that we have when we're in front of our customers, but we also hold that outside of those sessions. But not only that, the lines blur when it comes to booking sessions and moving times and, you know, asking for, oh, could you just send me the link of that thing you were talking about in class? And, you know, all of this additional admin means that you're not only charging by the hour, but you're also ending up giving so much more than that 1 hour. And that 1 hour is enough. So you're not necessarily overwhelmed because you've taken on too much or you have too many clients, but it's more that the overwhelm comes because it can't function without you. It can't run without you. Your business stops when you stop. And that is the frustration that I see, but it's also the reason why you feel so busy, right? So I do completely understand it. And for me, if you've been a long time listener to this podcast, you will know that energy is one of my kind of pillars. I grew up from my late teens onwards. I've suffered, struggled. Don't want to be too negative about it because I manage it. But I've always had this kind of shadow of chronic fatigue hanging over me. It kicked in when I was younger at GCSEs, again at A levels, again at degree level. Every point of stress in my life, it's manifested as chronic fatigue. So I need to be really mindful of that. And I think, as you will all find, there are things that you have overcome that you actually now bring into your life. You know, you practice a balance around that thing because you've had to. So people are often sort of talking to me about chronic fatigue and how I manage it. And I think it's something that I've got really good at managing, maybe without realizing it. So things like white space in my diary, only working with people I like, you know, making sure that my clients aren't idiots, like I have a no idiot rule, right? I make sure that I work with people that I feel in alignment with, that I feel excited and interested in working with, because energetically that really matters. And so I think you're probably similar in that you give a lot to your customers and that can end up feeling really overwhelming. And so I want to kind of break this down to why you might be resisting the idea of moving online, and also potentially why what you already have online isn't really growing. Now, essentially, I know lots of you know that online would be a good option. Like in theory, you can understand the relevance of it. You can see how it could help you. You could see how it could help you move away from that one-to-one time for money trap. But I think often there are certain things that feel very heavy about the online space. And the first one is social media. Now, I know that you are probably posting occasionally on social media, but fairly inconsistently. And there's reasons why this comes about. You feel like you should be. You see other people out there doing great things in social space, but you try and do it, you try and replicate, and you get crickets. And when you get the low view rates, the low responses, no shares, no likes, no comments, It becomes a bit disheartening and you start to feel like you're talking into the void. And what is the point? And it feels heavy and it feels like another job to do. And so you start to feel like you need to be posting daily because other people are doing it. But it then becomes this heavy job to do, when in fact, actually, it really doesn't need to be that. And actually, I have many clients that aren't really operating a social media presence at the moment, and they're still growing their businesses. So in the online space. So it isn't a necessity. It's definitely something you can be doing, but I want to just kind of go through a few other reasons why this might be feeling heavy. The second thing about online is that people often feel like they're going to become desk workers. And I know that often, particularly if you're in the fitness and movement space, you don't really want to be stuck at a desk or tied to a desk. So I want to kind of reassure you that there doesn't need to be a 9-to-5 desk-based work, that online can form a part of your income and a part of your freedom strategy, but it doesn't have to be the whole pie, right? So what I like to get to the point of is thinking about, right, what would you like to get rid of? You know, what clients would you like to ditch? What hours do you not enjoy working anymore? Are you working mornings or evenings or weekends? And things that you don't feel work well for your life anymore and you'd like to change them, then online and having a few hours at your desk and building an online business can absolutely fill the gap. So if you're giving up a few hours, then you can fill the gap with the online work. Your online business does not have to be your only business. You can absolutely continue to have an in-person business. So I want you to remember that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. This isn't about creating a new business. It's just about having a branch of your brand. The other thing is tech. I often feel like people think tech is going to be really complicated. And honestly, I can tell you, if we were doing this 10 years ago, we would be having a different conversation. But tech, oh my goodness, it is so straightforward now. And yes, there's a learning curve. Yes, there's like, you know, a little bit of a understanding. But I have not worked with anybody who hasn't got that, who hasn't been able to make that work. So I really don't want you to think that tech is a mountain to climb, because it really isn't. In fact, tech, when it comes to the digital space, is kind of one of the easier parts. It really isn't the big kind of the big boulder that we feel like it is. And then also, I think people look at the online world and they see these kind of big influencers and big names, and they're, you know, everything is so slick. They're doing all of the posting. They're being featured on all of the podcasts. They're in the books. They're on the event stages. And it feels like a huge mountain to climb. Like their step 50 is what you're aspiring to on day one. And what I can tell you is that that is not how this works. We're not going to get you to step 50 in the few months that I work with you. That's not going to happen. Those people that are at step 50 have likely got 10 years behind them building up to that point. Now, that's not to say that it can't happen and it can't happen quickly, but there are some other bonuses and benefits that happen first, right? We don't have to be posting every day. We don't have to be writing books and going on the This Morning Sofa. We can start with just supplementary income. We can start with just having an income that fills our downtime. We can start with having a timetable that we can take holidays off and still earn money. We can start with having a bigger impact on our clients and helping more people, right? So I feel like often people, when they look at online, they feel like there's this huge mountain to climb between where you are now and where the people you're watching are. But actually, even if we took two or three steps along that map, or, you know, along that ladder, we would be in such an improved position. It doesn't have to be Caroline Circuits, Joe Wicks, Yoga with Adrienne. Those are like Everest, right? We want to deal with your local, you know, first of all, we want to kind of stomp up your local hill, right? We're not looking to climb Everest, not at this stage. It is possible and you can get there, but I want you to just feel less like it has to be huge. And actually, we can just start small. But those small things, those small wins that we can get right at the beginning, you know, a few K coming into your bank account from your pilot launch, you know, giving up that Wednesday night class that you hate, being able to pay for your family to fly to New Zealand for a holiday. Like, those wins are massive when it comes to quality of life, right? So I feel like online can feel really heavy because we look at it as too, we oversell actually what it can be, and we undersell the real life benefits. So I think there is that assumption, isn't there, that more growth is going to equal more effort, that you're going to have to work more hours, more juggling, more content. But actually, I want you to think instead that it's less of more, and it's more about what you can stop doing, you know, what the extra income, extra freedom will give you, rather than what it's going to take from you. I also think that sometimes people are nervous about online because you don't necessarily know if it's going to work, right? If I do all this work, and what if it fails? So I would say that in answer to that, one of the big things that I do with people, and what I would encourage you to do, is have test markers in your process. So we're not looking to just, you know, gung-ho, put something out into the world and hope that it sells. No, no, no. We're going to be testing the market. We're going to be asking what people want. We're going to be putting in opportunities for people to signal their interest. We're going to be, you know, opening the cart and closing the cart as a kind of test version, a pilot version, so that we very quickly get data of, does this work? Is this what people want? Will people pay for it? And if they won't, and if it doesn't or isn't, then we backtrack and we go again. But we learn and we fail fast. We fail forwards. Rather than creating an incredible program, spending months filming it, you know, spending hours in a studio, paying for editing, and then putting it out into the world and nobody buying it, that's a huge investment of time and money from you. That's a lot of work. But we don't do that. I don't do that with my clients. I make sure that we test before we create. So we know if something is going to sell. We're not guessing. We're not pissing into the wind, for want of a better expression. We are testing it first, and then we are making clear decisions based on that. So of course, you don't want another job, more work to do. I get that. But I want to show you how online products can actually replace some of the work that you're already doing. Okay, so let's reframe this a little bit, and let's think of a different way of looking at this. So if we think instead of you know, building something online as adding more work to do, instead, could we look at it as just a redirection of energy? So the first thing I would suggest is that we don't need to become experts in our field. You need to be experienced. You need to be very good at what you do. Your clients need to be telling you that you're good. You need to understand your clients and their pain points and their desires very, very clearly and deeply. And then we need to specialize in one person with one problem, offer them one solution, and tailor it to one part of their journey, right? So if we're looking at back pain, we might look at women between 30 and 35 who have had difficult pregnancies, that have experienced pelvic and lower back pain, and are, let's say, 25 to 35 weeks pregnant, right? That's a very different program to just back pain, right? So yes, back pain program would work for anybody, but it's very difficult to target something and deliver something really good if we don't tailor it to a specific person with a specific problem. So I would want you to get clear on that. Rather than creating something wildly ambitious and huge that caters for everybody. And, you know, I think often we look at these people in the industry, and we look at people like the ones I've mentioned already, Caroline Serkis, Yoga with Adrienne, Caroline Gervens. Caroline's a good name, isn't it, in this space? But we look at those people and we think, oh my God, you know, what they've done is massive. Like, they've not niched. Maybe I don't need to niche. But what I can tell you is that they absolutely niched in the first instance. It's very hard to track back and see that. But they absolutely niched to begin with. But also, they will still have a very clear avatar. very clear. I can tell you that my 21-year-old cousin is not doing Caroline Circuit's workouts. Okay. Equally, my 75-year-old mum is not doing Caroline Circuit's workouts. Caroline Circuits is tailoring it to that particular age group, that demographic with a particular requirement. So they do have a clear avatar. So I want you to think of one person, one offer, one stage of the journey and fix that. Then we want one clear message, because the reason why posting online, creating content, writing emails, and also even creating and delivering a product, the reason why those things feel hard and feel like a big job to do is because you're looking at it from the perspective that I have to solve everything for everyone. Whereas actually, when we get really laser focused and we just solve one part of the journey, like the woman who is 33 weeks pregnant that's got pelvic pain, when we just look at that part of the journey, the things that she needs are very straightforward. And it doesn't need to be all singing, all dancing, because you'll overwhelm her. We only need to answer one question. And so when we know all of that, it goes from instead of asking kind of how am I going to fit this in? How will I find time? I'm spinning plates. I haven't got time for this. The better question becomes, what would this actually allow me to step away from? If I can make this work and get this up and running quickly, how will it help me? So when someone emails me and says, oh, I'm spinning plates, I haven't got time for this, then my answer is, you absolutely need to make time for it then. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes. So hard lesson, potentially, but a valuable one. I'm definitely not about giving people more work to do. I'm definitely not about creating, you know, businesses that feel like a kind of chain around your neck. But instead, I want you to think of this as a method of creating freedom. So your next steps is to have a think about, you know, auditing where your time is currently going, what gaps you have in your week where you could make space for this, and then identify what you would ideally replace. In an ideal world, if you could keep your dreamy clients only, which ones would you get rid of? What hours would you no longer work? And then think about, okay, if I could replace those people, those things, those times, those hours, what problem could I solve really well? What am I really good at? You don't have to actually build anything right now, but I would love you to start thinking differently about the potential of your business and how your business is going to work. And so to kind of pull this together, if you are listening to this and you are thinking, I know I need to change something, but I don't have the capacity to figure this out, it's just too much, then that is what I want to help you to do. I want to help you to figure this out. You don't have to figure it out alone. If you imagine that this process is a mountain to climb, and there is a learning curve, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There is work to do. There will be times where you're sitting at your desk for an hour here or there. So there is some work to do. But if you can imagine that instead of clambering up that mountain, instead of kind of taking every hairpin bend and winding your way up, imagine instead that you took the cable car and you just took the simplest, smoothest route to the top and you just went that way. Because it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. We can make it easy, but most people don't. Most people make it hard. And that's why they either never get to the end or they create something that isn't selling and they don't know why. And they don't know how to debrief on that. So I would love to help you with that process. And I'd love to have a conversation with you to see if this would even work for you. My training is linked below. This is going to be really, really helpful for you. But also, when you're ready, we can look at this together. This doesn't have to be something that you sit and kind of spiral over and ponder over for the next 6 months. Instead, why don't we spend 25 minutes together on the phone and we work this out together? Not to add more to your to-do list, but just to carve out the space for you to actually think about whether or not this would work. Now, from my perspective, this gives me a really great opportunity to speak to you, to identify what your issues are, what your concerns are, where we can get you to. From your perspective, you come away with some next steps and some recommendations and some kind of focus points on where to move this, how to move this forward. Now, from a from a business perspective, this isn't a sales call. If you want to have a conversation with me, then I would really encourage that. And I'm going to put the link below for you to book in. But it's not a sales call because I don't know you and you don't know me yet. We might not even like each other, but I only take on people, I only work with people that I really like, that I feel like I can really help in a very positive way. And so the call that we have, although we may end up talking about the accelerator and how it would work for you, I absolutely would not be selling it to you on that call, because I would need to go away and consider if you're the right fit for it. So hopefully that takes away any fears of it being a sales call. You have my word, that is not what it is. But if you would like to have a conversation, I would love to see you there. If you're ready to take that cable car right up to the top and cut some of the dead wood, get rid of some of the hours that you don't want to be working or some of the clients that you don't want to be working with, then this is your route forwards. And I really look forward to working on that with you. So it's been lovely to spend 25 minutes with you today. I hope this has been useful and I look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, catching up with you, and have a great Monday. Thanks, guys.